Good to be with each and every one of you this morning. Consider it a blessed privilege to be able to be here with you at this time. I will admit, though, when I drove up on the parking lot about 9:30 this morning and saw Elder Don Martin and Elder Don Watson standing out in the parking lot visiting, I instantly regretted telling Brother Kenny that I would try to preach to y'all this morning. And then the other ministers that have come in, Elder Gale and but I do need your prayers for what time that I might stand before you this morning. And you need to pray for yourselves. And you need to pray for one another. That the Lord would bless us in such a way that he lift us all up together and make us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's my desire this morning, that we might all be lifted up into his glorious kingdom this one more time. That we might be able to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be, as it were, at the feet of Jesus. I've been struggling all week trying to come up with something. And as a lot of weeks go by, I get a lot of good meditation driving down the road in that truck, and I have some very good thoughts, some very humbling thoughts to myself, but it seems like when it comes time to stand before the Lord's people, it just kind of, there's a blank page there sometimes for me. And so I do beg an interest in your prayers this morning. But as Brother Kenny was speaking a little bit about, and I have, and I'm sure every minister has over the last month or so, all the things, and I'm not going to bring in all this stuff that's going on with our government and in the nation and the dividing and everything that's going on. It's bad. It's terrible. We have a lot of evil in this world. The Lord himself told us the world is going to wax worse and worse. And we're going to suffer tribulations in this world. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But say, one thing that I've noticed here in the past, since all of this mess started back in March, that we have, and as Brother Kenny was concerned about it, and we all should be concerned about it, I see a little bit of division amongst the saints of God. Because you'll have somebody that'll say something or post something on Facebook or whatever, that pretty much signifies, they put a meme on there that pretty much fits what, say I'm feeling at the moment. Say I put something on there and somebody else that I know is a Christian, is a saint of God, that I've worshiped with in the house of the Lord, they'll pop a comment on there that just out of left field, that's just ugly as it can be. So whether you agree with this side or this side, whether you agree with the company opening back up or not, whether you agree with mask work or mask don't, when we're serving God, all of this needs to be laid aside. We do not need to bring this into the house of God. We do not need to cause division between the brethren and sisters over what we think is good, what we think is stupid, whatnot. Now, I could sit up here and tell you my opinion about the whole thing, but probably I would probably offend half of you. That is not my desire to do that. I'm going to keep my opinions to myself. I'll come across certain things that people put on there, and I think, boy, that's good. I think I'll share that. But before I hit the share button, I think maybe I ought not do that. We're so easily to say something to somebody on, you know, and you could call it trash book instead of Facebook. We're so easily motivated to trash somebody and say something bad to somebody and about somebody that you wouldn't say to their face. Right. It's coming in, it's a way for people to come in the back door and attack other people. And when it starts happening in the church of God, we need to wake up. We should not allow that to happen. I'm going to read just a little bit, Lord willing, and Lord would bless us from this. I didn't have this upon my mind till this morning when I woke up, so I pray it's of the Lord, and that he would bless us in a way and direct us in a way that we could to run with this for a little while, that we might give him all the praise, honor, and glory. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting with verse 17, and it's talking about putting on the new man. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this is where we have, people say, and I hear all the time, and I've done the same thing. You get a little irritated at what somebody say. We instantly get in the flesh. We instantly take on the old man. We are to put away the old man. It's done with. We have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. We need to put away the old man, and we need to keep the new man put away all of these things here. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let me back up one. I missed a verse. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up one another, encouraging one another, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We need to be reminded of this. Every child of grace needs to be reminded of this every day of our lives, that we put away all of this hatefulness, all of this anger, all of this bitterness that we have over different opinions of our brothers and sisters, especially in this time that we're living through right now in this so-called pandemic. It's a destruction of the United States of America is what it is. But that we get all riled up and we all have different opinions. Some of us are scared of this virus. Some of us are not. You know, we have so many different opinions. And to attack each other on what somebody else thinks, it's just not putting on the new man. You're not living in a way that Christ would have you to live, that we be tenderhearted, that we be show loving kindness, and that we bring forth forgiveness one to another. We should not be worried about what's going on in the world. The Lord tells us the world's going to hate you. Don't worry about that, because he says it hated me first. We shouldn't be worried about and discussing what's going on in the world, those things that we cannot control. They'll try to scare you to death to keep you from serving God. I see Satan behind a lot of this. I'm not saying the virus is not bad, and I'm not saying it's not a joke. Many people have died from it, so don't take it like I'm putting it as nothing. It is something very serious and very deadly to certain groups of people. But they have put it to us in such a way that they have scared every one of us into our homes and put us under house arrest. And that's not what the Lord told us to do. He told us to stand. Put on the whole armor of God and stand in the evil day. Brothers and sisters, we're in the evil day. I think we've always been in the evil day, and I think we always will be in the evil day till the Lord comes and calls each and every one of us home to live with him in heaven and immortal glory. It's going to wax worse and worse. I look at it at times like we're on a roller coaster. We have good times, and we have bad times. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're in the valley. But he's the Lord's both places. He'd be with us in the valley, the very lowest points of our life. He can be with us on the mountaintop. when we're shouting praises unto him. In every aspect of your life, he is there with you. He doesn't turn away from you. He doesn't walk away from you. You say, well, sometimes I don't feel very close to the Lord. This is me talking to myself. Sometimes I don't feel as close to the Lord as I am other times. Why is that? I've walked away. I've turned away from him. I've turned away from the teachings that he gave unto us to love him and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if we all loved one another, that's what it's going to take for the saints of God, for the children of grace, to continue on in this life, is to put aside all malice and love one another. And then we put on that new man each and every day. It's not just a one-time deal. The Apostle Paul says, I die daily that I may gain Christ. I die daily that I may win Christ. It's an everyday deal. That we die to the lust of the flesh, that we die to the old man, and that we take on the new man each and every morning when we get up, when we awake. Thank God that he has given you another day, that he might we would be able to put on that new man, and that we would come in contact with all, not just, he didn't just say fellow members of the church that your membership is. He says, everyone, your neighbors, that pretty much puts everybody that you come into contact with, whether it's out in the community, whether it's at work, whether it's at your home, whether it's at church, wherever, love thy neighbor as thyself. And you say, well, there's just some people that I can't love. He also says, love thine enemy. That's hard to do. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever had someone that you just despise and you just can't stand? He says, love them anyway. What I've come to the conclusion on that part, because at one time I was like, I just can't love that person. You know, but it's not the person that I can't love, it's what they're doing. It's the actions that they're doing, the way their conversation of life, their walk in life, in other words, the way that they're living, they may be living in sin or living however that they're living that doesn't agree with the Word of God. That's the part that I can despise and not love. But it doesn't mean you can't love that person. God is no respecter of persons. We have that over here in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and then shall he also appear with him, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Guess what? We've all been guilty of that. We've all walked in those things. And I'm not telling every one of you you've committed fornication, you've done this and you've done this. But we've all walked in a way that was not right with God at one point or time in our life. Which for which things' sake the wrath of God come on children disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with these deeds. In other words, when you put off the old man, you've got rid of all of this stuff. You just put it behind you. Remember what the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Put it behind you. Get it out of the way, all the lust of the flesh, all the evilness therein that's in the flesh, that's in the old man. Put it aside. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I just don't feel like I can put on that new man. Some of these other ministers that may think that you put on the new man once and that's all you have to do. I can go to bed praying to God and meditating on the things of God and the word of God and just talking to my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we all should be doing all the time, not just on Sunday mornings. Every day of your life, you ought to be talking to the Lord. You ought to be asking him to direct your life. To direct you this day, direct my footsteps this day that I not offend anybody, that I not say anything to anyone that would not be encouraging before the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have days that's not so good. You ever had a day that's not so good? We have bad days in this life. This world is full of temptations. It's full of evil. It's full of evil men. It's full of evil things that we know not of. Sometimes we have bad days and you think, well, I just can't do that today. I just can't put on that new man today. I just can't do it. Sometimes we can't, but the Lord can put it on you for you. If you get up in the morning and you're praising God and you ask the Lord to help me, Lord, help me put on the new man today. Let me put aside and forget about the things of the flesh and all the evil and wickedness that are in this world and let me praise thee. Let me walk in a way today that I might praise thee, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my God. Amen. He is our all in all, as we read a while ago in the scripture. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Over here in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 15, chapter 6 of Galatians, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We have been made a new creature. We see that over here in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I might could quote it, but I don't want to mess it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I know that you understand and that you know, and there's a lot of these things that I know and understand, but that I hear other able men blessed by the grace of God to preach the unsearchable riches of God, and it brings me to remembrance, to stir up our remembrance once again. That we do this, that we understand, and that we know that Jesus Christ died for us. That he came here and he had no sin. That he was made sin for you and I. That we would be made the righteousness of God through him. That he did this willingly. That there was a covenant purpose before the foundation of the world. Before this world was ever spoken into existence by God. That before that time, that there was a covenant purpose between them. That God already knew that man was going to fall. He already knew that Adam was going to break his commandment. This was no surprise to him. Some of the I'm not going to try to hammer on other denominations. That's not what we should do. But there are some out there we should be praying for. That the Lord would open their eyes and their ears that they might see the truth. I feel like, brethren and sisters, that we have the truth. That God has blessed us in such a way that we know the truth in Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures are full of it. It's not by our works. It's by the finished work of Jesus Christ. But there was a covenant purpose before the foundation of the world by the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the whole counsel. There wasn't any man counseled with God at that time. Even the Lord told Job, who is man, that counseleth with me. There was no one that could counsel with him. People don't like the idea that they didn't have the opportunity to make the choice whether they wanted to go to heaven or go somewhere else. It should be my choice. It's like the big... all the hypocrisy stuff going on right now about the abortions, but then about this virus, they say it's your body, it's your choice. I'm going to tell you what, it was never your body, and it was never your choice. God made a choice, and he chose his people before the foundation of the world, and he chose them in Christ. And we were put there then. Now, when Christ came, you know, when the Father, when they did purpose this covenant, do you think that he had to make his Son, his eternal Son, come down here and suffer and bleed and die for all of the children that he chose in his Son? Do you think that he made him do that? You're going to do this. You tell our children sometimes, you're going to do this or else. No. The Lord Jesus Christ sinned, said, send me. Send me. And he came here not to do his own will, but the will of him which sent him. He said, this is my Father's will which has sent me, that all that he has given me I should lose nothing, no thing, but raise it up again at the last day, John 6:38. Raise it up again at the last day. But they purposed this covenant. And this covenant was the covenant of grace. And in this covenant of grace, You want to know what the, you know, and I know there is more that I can ever try to preach on the covenant of grace. I don't have a full understanding of the whole thing. I have what the Lord has allowed me to see. But if you want to put it as simply as I can put it, the covenant of grace is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the heart of it, if you will. That he said, send me. God already knew that man was going to fall and we were going to be plunged into an eternal separation from God forever and ever. Not just for a little while, forever and ever. And that rightfully so. That is where that we should be in our own, if you want to say our own goodness, our own righteousness, which we had none. Isaiah 64 says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We have no righteousness of our own. But if you want to stand there and say, because of my righteousness, I could do this, I could do that. I could work my way. And live my life in such a way that God would look upon me and maybe be pleased, and it would put me in a position of love with God that he might allow me to live with him when I pass this life. I might be able to live with him in heaven in immortal glory. There is none righteousness that you ever had that would even bring you close to that. We couldn't even do it for ourselves individually, much less for everyone else that we love and we know in this life. We couldn't die for and pay the debt for our own sins. But there was one who did. There was one who was without sin. There was one who knew no sin. There was one that became sin for you and I. And he didn't have any sin to take on himself. He had no sin. But he took all of the sin of every child of grace and imputed those sins to himself. And he carried them to the cross. He nailed them there. He covered them there by his blood, the shedding of his blood, making that atonement in those 3 hours of darkness, making the atonement unto God the Father. That atonement is at one. He puts you at one with God the Father. He is our mediator. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Where's that? 2 Timothy or 1st, 2 and 5. Maybe it's 2 Timothy 2 and 5. He is a mediator between us and God, our Father. You say, well, Jesus Christ is God. Why do you keep saying he's a mediator? He's both. He is God. God the Father is God. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is God. God the Holy Ghost is God. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capital W, Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. But he came here to set you free, and he did that. He finished the work that his Father sent him here to do. He wasn't crying unto the Father, Lord, don't make me go, don't make me go. These people aren't worth dying for. And we weren't. And we weren't. He could have truthfully said that to his Father. This is a waste of time. Why don't we just wad up this creation, throw it in file 13, make a new one? Because there was none of us worth saving by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he came here willingly. And he did what the Father had him to do. He fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. He crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's. There was nothing left for you and I to do. He fulfilled the law. Many times they tried when he was here on the earth and he was going from city to city and preaching. You know, we go. Brother Kenny goes, I go, we go from city to city, try to preach the gospel to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to preach the gospel of himself. Sometimes I think that had to be a lot easier. I could preach to you all day about myself, but every one of you would walk out in about 2 minutes. But Jesus Christ did it with power and in the Spirit. That's the only way a man can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is in the Spirit and by the power and the grace of God. No one can get up here and preach the gospel by himself. It just doesn't work. I've been up here in times and felt like I'm by myself. That's not good either. But when you're up here and you feel the Spirit of the Lord with you, there's no other place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord with the saints of God, praising and worshiping our Savior. He came and did this for you. He set you free. He took all of our sins, not just ones that done you did a few years ago, last year, yesterday, today, but for the rest of your life here on earth. Every sin, and even a foolish thought is sin. Some people might say, well, I've not committed a sin in my life. You've just made God a liar. By confessing that, you're making God a liar. Because we're all sinners by nature and sinners by practice, and we're going to do it every day until there's no more breath left in these bodies. A lot of people fear death. I used to fear death as a child. As a young child growing up, I was in great fear when the Vietnam War was going on, that I was going to get up and I was going to have to go to war. And many people's did. You know, there's been all this outcry this year, and I feel bad for them. I really do. There may be some here today. I don't know. That the seniors didn't get a proper graduation. They didn't get to have their ceremony. Some schools are doing it. Plainview had it in the football stadium away from everybody else. A lot of other towns are doing that too. But there's been a lot. There was a lot of talk about it's just not fair that our kids went through all this school, and they're not going to get to walk across the stage and get their diploma. And then somebody posted on there, well, remember, there was a year that all of the seniors for their graduation and for their senior trip they went to Vietnam and they died. For what? For the freedom that we have here today that's being threatened to be taken away from you and I. We have been shown how quickly we would surrender to the governments of this land. They say, go home, lock yourselves in your house, don't go to work, don't do this. What did we do? We did it. We did it. Did any of us question, Lord, I don't think this is right. What should we do? I didn't have the opportunity, and I thank God for this. I didn't have the opportunity to go home and sit in my home and lock myself up. I had to still go crawl in that truck and go in all these different states, all these different hot spots where all this virus was really bad. And you're traveling over there, and you can't stop anywhere because nowhere's open or they won't let you in. You're just kind of hung out there. But I'm thankful that I was able to still work. A lot of people, the money was shut off. Their businesses was closed. Brother Joe and Sister Beth experienced that quite well. You got to close your business and go home. Well, how am I going to feed myself? How am I going to live? We don't care. Go home. We don't care if your life is ruined. You might save another life. I don't know how I got off on that. I'm sorry about that. You know, I try not to bring this stuff into the church because it doesn't belong in the church. But boy, it finds its way in. It just slips through. But what we need to be doing is praising God. What we need to be doing is putting on the new man. If Christ in you, ye are a new creature. He has made you a new creature. We are not of this world. We are not bound to the laws of this land. You say, wait a minute. Yes, we are. I say we are bound to the laws of God. Oh, there's a lot of people stood up and admire them. There was a lot of pastors in different states that stood up when they first closed everybody down. They weren't going to close down. Should have done the same thing. I'd have probably been arrested. I'd have probably lost my job, been fired, whatever. But I'd have felt better about myself toward God. They stood up. And they were going to hold church anyway. Some of them did. And they come and they broke them up and they arrested the pastors, took them to jail. Everybody that was opening up their business took them to jail. But all these Christians and all these people that want to work for a living took them to jail. Well, then they had to release all of the bad people so they'd have room for the good people. That make a lot of sense? But that's what they did. We need to stand our ground. I've heard a lot of old Baptist brethren and sisters and ministers say this will not happen again. Our president is saying this is not going to happen again. He says if there is a second wave and it gets really bad, we will not shut this country down again. We need to be that way according to the church of God, that we stand strong, that we put on the whole armor of God and we stand in the time that we need to stand. And if they come in here with guns and threaten to take us all away, so be it. But when they say shut down, that we not shut down by the grace of God. You know, we think we might have it bad right now, and this world's gone all crazy in the last 3 months. It has. But I tell you, it's been a whole lot worse. And it can get a whole lot worse. If we don't stand our ground, if we don't stop all of this foolishness that it's talking about when we have on the old man, if we don't put all that hatefulness and all of that behind us, and if we don't keep on the new man to where we have charity toward one another, where we have love toward one another, and we stand firmly before God, worshiping and praising and honoring our Lord Jesus Christ and our God. That is our job to do. He didn't say run and hide. Oh, there's scriptures in the Bible where it said, hide thyself in thy, I don't get the right word. Go hide yourselves in your home until the plague passes. Because that scripture was popped up quite a bit when the stay-at-home order was put out. A lot of brothers and sisters are like, yeah, we need to do that because that's scripture. When there's a plague in the land, that scripture says, go hide thyself in thy home or thy house until the plague be passed. need to stand strong. We need to keep on the new man. We need to have charity toward one another. We don't need to be criticizing one another on our different beliefs of what's going on in this land. And it's okay to have different beliefs of what's going on in our country. But it's not okay to have different beliefs on how that we serve God. There is one way that we are to serve God, and that's not in the flesh. That's in the spirit. That we be lifted up, coming together. It doesn't have to be a big group. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There will I also be in the midst of them. I can tell you where one is, he's been in my midst. I've been driving that truck down the highway, and I know that he's with me. And I'll be thinking about the Word of God, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for me, what he's done for all of his children, and I can get so carried away in the spirit, and my eyes start flowing. I have to pull over on the shoulder because I can't see where I'm going. But you know what? Well, that's a glorious time. That's a glorious time when you can feel the Lord there with you, wherever you are. Tells you to go into your closet and pray. Don't do it on the street corners. They get their reward by making themselves famous, if you will. Go into that closet and pray. You go into that closet and you go with an all meekness and humbleness and humility of heart. Guess who's going to be in that closet with you? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you can commune with him. One-on-one. I am thankful today, and I trust we all are, that we don't have to go to some prophet or somebody else that they could inquire of the Lord for us. I have a question. I have to go somewhere and have this priest or prophet ask the question of the Lord and then go back to him and receive the answer. We don't have to do that. He has broken down that middle wall partition. We have the ability and the power by the grace of God to meet with him at any second, any moment of the day or night, one-on-one. He already knows everything about you. Sometimes we do something bad. You know, I'm gonna have to tell the Lord about that. No, the Lord already knows. You may have to tell the church about that. The Lord already knows. You lay everything out before him. He already knows what you're at, what you got, your predicament, what kind of hardships you're going through. What kind of tribulations you're going through. He already knows everything about you. And he already knows how he's going to help you. He says, ask. Ask. Some people say, you know, I see these people over here, these brethren over here, they're blessed and they're doing well and they're making all this money and they're just doing really well. How come I'm not doing really well? I'm trying to live the way I'm supposed to live before God. How come I'm not doing so well? Maybe they're asking. Maybe I'm not. Or maybe they're asking the right way. Maybe some of us are asking amiss. He knows our situation. He knows what's going on in this country right now. He knows what's going on with our government. He knows the good and the evil therein. He knows everything about it. And he can turn the heads of the leaders whithersoever he will. So you think our president or this one or this one or that one, whatever, they're in control? Brothers and sisters, they're not in control. God is in control. And we are here to serve him. But we must put on this new man in which we have been made a new creature in Christ. We must put on this new man and walk in a way before God that would be pleasing in his sight, that we put all this other nonsense behind us and we focus only upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, he is our Redeemer, but he is also a returning Redeemer. He has promised to come back. We don't know what time that is. No man knoweth the hour. But he's promised to come back. Not to this, set foot on this earth. A lot of folks out there say, you know, they're waiting for that time. He's going to come set foot on the earth. He's going to set up a kingdom. He's going to reign 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do, he's already set foot on the earth. He's already set up his kingdom, and he's reigning right now. We already know that. So when he comes back, Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. They which are dead in Christ shall arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be gathered up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is going to come back someday, and that day is when God said, enough. Time is no more. He already knows that day. He already knows that time when the eastern sky is going to split. The Lord's going to come in the vicinity of this earth, and he's going to call all of his children home. There's coming that time. The only way we're going to make it through this mess that this nation has got itself into is by looking to the Lord. It's not by looking to Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump, and y'all might not like me for saying that. But it's not based on what he can do. It's not based on what his cabinet can do or any of the Congress, the Senate. It's not based on that. One man prayed to God that there would not be rain, and for 3.5 years there was not rain. He prayed again, and the rain came. 3.5 years. One man. So if you tell yourself, I can't do anything to change what's going on in my life, I can't do anything to change what's going on in this nation, yes, you can. By prayer. By praying. God hears the prayers of the old in age and of those that are real young. You can take a 2-year-old and pray to God and have more effect than somebody that's 100. Or vice versa. The God only not only hears our prayers, he answers our prayers. You say, well, you know, I've prayed for this and this and this and this, and you know, God never did answer my prayer. Yes, he did. He didn't answer it the way you wanted it. Because you know what we're guilty of when we pray to God for something, we already have an answer in our mind, the way that God should do it. We're praying for God to fix the problem, but we already have that fix that we think he should do. Well, then he doesn't do that way. You say, well, he didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. It might be years, and you look back, and that worked itself out. It didn't work itself out. God worked it out. And sometimes God has blessed me till I can look back on things, and I can see and realize that he worked them out. It wasn't me. I didn't have anything to do with it. The only thing I did was pray to him, as humbly as I know how. When you have someone with a problem and you can't fix them, you get on your knees a lot. Whether it's whatever, alcohol, drugs, whatever. But we try. But when you realize you can't try, you fall on your knees. We are the world's worst. And I'm going to sit down, Brother Kenny. We are the world's worst about trying everything we can do to fix the problems ourselves. Whether it's health, whatever. Medical issues, disease, heart disease, cancer, whatever. We try everything within our power to fix the problem ourselves. And then we get to a point where we just can't do that, then we turn it over to God. Why do we do that? When the problem first makes itself evident, why don't we turn it over to God right then? How much tribulation would we avoid by turning it over to the hands of God right then? Instead of trying to work it out ourselves or taking them to this doctor, in this state, wherever. But when they finally come to you and say, there's no hope. I used to love the little story that Elder George Johnson told me. Loved him dearly. He had health problems. And about 10 or 15 years before the Lord took him home, doctors told him, there's no hope. You're not going to live 3 months. He lived another 10 or so years. Kenny probably knows how many. He told the doctor, you do not know my Lord. You do not know my God. We can overcome anything in this life. No matter how bad it gets or how good it gets, we can overcome everything in our life. Whether it's pits and snares put before us, whether it's hurdles, whether it's mountains. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can remove Satan to this mountain, get thee removed. We have that power in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to him. Don't wait till there's no other hope. Talk to him every day. He has put you in a position where you have a relationship with him. You can talk to him every day, all the time. And then when you get placed in these positions, you're already in conversation with him, and you can say, Lord, what do I do? How do we do this? How do I do this? How do you do this? Direct me. Direct me how to do it. But the main thing is that I want you to see today is be kind to one another. Don't cause these adversity of opinions between us, separate us. There's been, as Brother Kenny said, there's been many churches separated over silly things. There's been churches, old Baptist churches I'm talking about, they have been split up and divided over the kind of seats they would have in the building or the color of carpet they would have in the building. Stuff that does not even pertain to the service of God. We don't have to have carpet in this building. We don't have to have these seats to worship God. We can worship God out here in this parking lot, out here in the cotton field, whatever. We can worship God there. But we've been blessed by God, y'all have, to have this building. Love one another with all that you are. Forgive one another with all that you are. And praise God every day of your life. I thank you for your kind attention. May God bless you.